Welcome to Discover Film. What we do on this podcast is talk to filmmakers from the festival circuit. And since at a festival, you see the film before you hear from the filmmaker, we have links to all the films on our website, discoverfilm.net. I'm Jeff Howard, and I'm going to be your guide to some of the best work I've seen from up-and-coming filmmakers. Today, we have two filmmakers on the mic together, Ashley Aaron Campbell and Holland Olmsted. Ashley and Holland collaborated on this great short film called Above Jewels, and they came in here and gave a great interview for Discover Film. And I had the microphone set wrong, so they had to come in and do it again. So the beginning was very slow, so we're just going to jump right in while they're already talking.
How did we meet the immediate? I'm trying to remember, like, the first time I was like, hi, yeah. I'm Holland.
Did you meet first, or did you get paired up for a scene?
And we did a scene. What's that movie? Notes on a Scandal with Kate Blanchett and Judy Dench.
I played Judy Dench.
And we... Because we wanted to work together, and I love that movie, and I was just like... It was pretty funny. And there it's not supposed to be funny.
That happens.
Yeah, but that means you put your imprint on it.
It was pretty good. But I think from there, that's actually how we really connected, because during that rehearsal process, we would hang out for like 4 hours talking and talking about life and, you know, what we connected on. And it was pretty instant. Mm-hmm. So,
right, so you guys had the chemistry just rehearsing together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you just became friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think from there. And we didn't really do a lot of scenes together. But it was just...
Yeah. Would that have been discouraged there? I mean, you're not supposed to just pair up.
No, there's certain people. But also, I have to say, it's hard to find material with two women.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, you know, and I think that's also why we... came up with Above Jewels. It's like we're trying to do that because it's like it's hard to find that material. It really is. Like even now, you know, it's just so especially with plays.
Yeah, no, it's male dominance.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But from the Q&A at the festival, I know that Above Jewels started. It was an assignment at the Beverly Hills Playhouse.
Yeah, in the advanced class, they have like a. Like festival.
So when you received an assignment to shoot a short film, did you both instantly say, all right, let's do something with two females in it because that's so hard to find? Or
we just wanted to do something with us in it.
We just wanted to do something with us in it and then like have us be the lead, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that was just kind of the, and then it kind of turned out where it was like, you know, but then also we were doing Laundry and Bourbon at the time.
Yeah.
And so,
which is a play set in Texas. Mm-hmm. So we kind of had,
were doing Texas accents in Laundry and Bourbon.
That's kind of how we, like, took that from.
Were you in a phase where you would just hang out at night or talk on the phone and use those accents? Were you stuck in it?
Well, we did a really big chunk of the play, so it was just, like, in us.
Yeah.
I feel like those accents. It was, like, maybe 25 minutes of the play.
Yeah. Well, and then we also had, we have a friend from Texas who was able to come in and be like, okay, when we were very first starting it, I was talking about it with the director, and, two things. he was going to write it. We took the idea to him, and he was like, I just see it as a man and a wife, and they're burying the mistress. And I was like, no. Holland is not going to be a dead body in the trunk. That's not happening. And so then...
It was definitely not happening.
I ended up writing it because I was like, no, it's two chicks. That's what's happening. And then we went and at some point later on, we were looking for phrases like in the South. And there's actually a YouTube series. It's like Southern women phrases. And so we swiped some phrases from that. And then we went to Melissa and we were like, hey, can we get some Texas specific stuff? And so she gave us more stuff. And she also was able to coach us on our dialect, too.
The brickbat.
Yeah.
That was the hardest line to say.
But it's
damn brickbat.
I mean, it's still a little fascinating to think that your project, that you're generating from the ground up, and you still had to fight for having two female leads or to have two women speaking to each other on camera instead of one of you dead in a trunk. That's shocking that women have to fight
But I feel like that's why people enjoy the short more. Like, I feel like that's also, you know, I feel like it's...
Well, it's really
between the two sisters and, like, you know.
Your chemistry as sisters is so good. And honestly, it makes it 10 times funnier.
Yeah. I know. We actually really love each other.
Yeah.
We do.
Well, you actually, were you conscious? Was it, so Ashley wrote it.
Yeah.
And just sent it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you said thumbs up. But were you aware of the, I'm going to try to be gender neutral, the straight person, funny person dynamic, you know, the Abbott and Costello thing almost create?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely something that's also, that BHP also is like, it's like, when you're, you know, approaching any kind of material, it's going to have something like that, you know? And it's like, if it doesn't have that, then it's
right. Boring. And if you have two funny people on, if you have two people being silly, it doesn't work.
Exactly.
You need the silly one and the one they're bouncing
exactly.
off of.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's actually an interesting point, because when we first wrote it, I didn't specify the roles. And
well, we didn't know who was going to play who.
Because I feel like Holland is better at the crazy people than
like,
I am.
Yeah, the like mean,
Sure.
That's more my casting, I would say.
In all honesty, and I like, Janie's like silent but deadly. Mm-hmm. So... I didn't know which way it was going to go, in all honesty, and then it kind of ended up...
Well, it was just when we did a little table read, and she read for Janie, and then I read for Emily, and then we switched, and then I was like, I want to play Janie.
I was going to ask if you tried it both ways.
We did, and I think it just worked. Like, it was just,
well,
you know...
And part of it is probably because, since I wrote it, and Emily has so much more dialogue versus mm-hmm. Janie's the quiet one. Mm-hmm. It's in my voice.
Yeah, for
quite
sure.
Literally. So me mm-hmm. speaking the words is probably going to have a certain rhythm that's unfamiliar to you until you get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to use that gun.
Just wanted to kill me.
Yeah, that was
the
exciting. But also, yeah, being able to have the... play this character and have that twist in the end, I think is really cool. Because I feel like, you know, the way it's written is so great, and then being able to play her like that, and I feel like it really, like, people do not expect it at all, which is really cool.
Yeah. And actually, a cool dynamic in it is that when the bystander shows up
mm-hmm.
and starts offering the women help,
mm-hmm.
your character takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly she's
the
strong
switch.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... Mm-hmm. And you can actually see, I don't remember the sisters' names even. But Ashley's
Janie
character.
Janie and Emily.
Yeah. But Ashley's character actually almost seems nervous at that point mm-hmm. for the man. And it's clear that your character.
Well, because she thinks that he's dead.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that he's not. And I plan, you know.
Yeah, you've got another murder to do.
Well, I plan, the whole point is that I plan to switch the, you know. The bodies with hers.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, no, and you're,
so
and
me
you're
and my
contemplating.
Lover can run away.
Right. And your character's contemplating going, I was just going to kill my sister and I
yeah,
gotta
now
kill
I got to kill
this guy too.
That's why I was like,
yeah.
We're going to need a bigger hole.
I just doubled my.
And I'm a good Christian girl. I just want this good Samaritan.
I don't know about a good
okay.
Christian girl.
I helped you bury the body. I could have just sat in the front seat.
You made me kill him.
Whatever.
Yeah, which is one of my, not that you need to defend the script, because I love it, but when I watch it, I do think, I wonder how she made her do it. Like, how much mental manipulation was there? Was she just harping on her to, like, I'm going to tell mom and dad and everyone in the world?
Well, I think also, I feel like we try to make it so, like, because I feel like there is that history where it's like, maybe she is kind of my boss, or like she tells me what to do and how to feel, you know.
She's bossy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think like it's like finally, like, you know, it's like you keep poking and then finally it's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
she you know.
Yeah. As we discussed at the festival, this is one of those shorts that I would love to see
as a feature
expanded and add in. Maybe you have to add in a lot more killings. I don't know, but but
I don't know. I feel like
the
you
dynamics
didn't even need
of it all.
More killings, because I feel like the relationship between us two, I think it would be interesting to see kind of how maybe you would think that I'm like the weaker character, but then it's like it ends up kind of switching, you know?
To me, I always thought of Emily as the bad guy. Emily was my character,
mm-hmm.
the good Christian girl, and she
for sure.
appearances like looks to be the good guy, quote, I mean, relatively. But I always thought of, like, to me, this is a love story. Like, Janie and the husband are meant to be together. Yeah. Maybe. We'll find out until she decides to kill him later or something. And, yeah, Emily's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And
well, it's just I feel like I'm the pushover, you know? And it's just like...
And there's certainly a lot of humor there with the run-up to the killing and that... That your character is probably just...
That's what we hope.
A nightmare. You're a nightmare on wheels, but you married your high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
And now you're stuck in the wrong marriage, and he's cheating on you.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a lot of humor to that.
With your nicer sister.
Just kills people.
your sweeter sister. Well, I don't think it was just my idea to kill you. You know, I think he obviously convinced me, too.
Huh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always thought of Janie as being, like, stone cold. Kind of like, she's quiet, but she's deadly, like, she will.
Well, no, I just feel like, I think it wasn't, like, I feel like it was maybe both of their decision to do it. Because I feel like I would have come to him, right, to be like, she wants to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, already that's what's so cool, is having all that backstory.
Look at your storytelling instincts. Instead of it just happening, you're like, no, but he.
No.
Yeah.
The sisters, you're like, okay, wait a minute. My sister wants to kill her husband.
Clearly, they planned it. It'll end up being unintentionally funny, even if it's not intentionally funny.
Well, you're naturally humorous people. That's my vibe.
I would say so, yes. We're dark, though.
Dark and twisty.
It's like dark humor.
It's weird humor to have, for sure.
I think it's the best humor to have.
I'm not sure there is humor without an edge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, that's my... Yeah, I'm not a ha-ha kind of gal. I feel like it's got to be bleeped up.
Yeah. I always laugh at the wrong spots. Like, I'm usually the only person in the room laughing, and then I'm not laughing when everyone else is laughing.
Exactly.
Like,
me too. Like, he's dead.
Exactly.
Did you ever, when you watch it, do you ever laugh out loud at your own work? Or
are you busy? For sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Maybe. It's been a while.
It has.
I love the reaction from the audience at the end.
That's
I'm just like waiting the whole time.
Yeah.
Especially if you've never seen it before. I think it's pretty...
I will definitely watch people's reactions, and that when you shoot first, Samaritan, everybody's like, and then you shoot me, and it's like,
that's the best.
Always really fun. There's like usually like an audible gasp when that happens, it's kind of fun to watch, like you see when people kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, we're getting into the Texas thing, like people who I wouldn't think would be interested in it, that it doesn't seem like it would be their genre or whatever, but we always grab them at the end, so that kind of makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
That is good. You're proud of your work.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's something that like was assigned to do in 12 weeks. Yeah. Shot it in a day.
Like, no risk. It,
everything was just like, you know.
Right, yeah, I don't think we covered that yet. But yeah, so you were assigned at your acting school.
Mm-hmm.
You were given 3 months to start and complete a short film. And
yeah.
Is it 3 months?
It's like 8 weeks.
Is it 8 weeks?
Yeah. Oh, 8 weeks. I thought you said 12.
I thought it was 12 for some reason. Maybe it is 8.
Is it? I don't know.
It might be 8, actually.
Whatever it is, I feel like it's not a reasonable amount of time do, like, a really good short film. Like, you can get it shot and get a rough cut, or...
Which is what we had. We had a rough cut for the festival.
And then you take it and finish sound and music and everything in post. Or you could also maybe plan way ahead and shoot at the very beginning. But even so, I don't... If you got, like, an incredibly tight, like, knit community for post and people aren't doing you favors, then you could get it done in 8 weeks.
But well, it costs money. It takes time. Yeah. People gotta, you know, schedule. Like, it's not easy.
Yeah, yeah. We talked deep about the story and had a lot of fun with it, but not too much about what you did as producers. Because you had to become, you went from acting school, performing on stage, to, and directing yourselves on stage a bit too, right?
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of the... just what we have to do as actors in general, like, especially if you don't have a director directing you, it's kind of like, who else is going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I would say, a part of the approach at BHP is like, you have to know how to direct yourself so that when you are on set, you're ready to go.
Right. And then suddenly you're on a film set. And well, before you even shot the film, you put on producer's hats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We did all the location scouting. We did all of it.
Yeah.
We did.
Was it natural for both of you or?
For me, yeah.
I think so because just like on stage, it's like we have to figure out how to make the set.
Yeah.
We need to figure out how to, you know, go from A to B. Like it's just a part of what we're, you know, taught. Yeah.
That's so. So, I feel like this is like an advertisement for BHP.
Yay! I know, but they're great.
But they make, like, the first time I went to a class, it was like I was watching 5 one-act plays or scenes from a produced play in a night because you create a costume, you create a set, you create everything versus most other classes are kind of like, hey, let's do a cold read.
And so. Or it's just about the acting. Instead of like, you know,
you have to break down that script and, and they very much focus on story. And so I think that helps too. Like I remember back in Utah, just producing in general, I feel like has improved me as an actor so much because as you're involved in post-production, you see what works in the edit and you see what doesn't work. And so you don't personalize it as much. It's not like, oh, I couldn't reach that emotional level. I'm so terrible. You see like, oh, I did reach that emotional level, but my eyes are on the floor. So it doesn't work anyway. So it's you see all those sides of it and it just makes you better in general. There's a point to that.
But also it's different being on stage than being on film. Yeah. So it's kind of like,
radically that too, different, right?
You know, and having to maybe pull back a little bit on film, you know.
But my impression is that you both, after wearing the film producer hat, got a little addicted to it or more interested because you've gone on to make more things.
Yes,
absolutely. And I think also rehearsing is crucial. I think if you can do it, rehearse for any project you have.
Yeah, that's something that we talked about before with Above Jewels is that you rehearsed extensively. And most short films, they rehearse on set if they rehearse at all.
Yeah. Every short film I've ever done, I've rehearsed. And that's why it's just, it looks better.
Maybe features are the ones that get less rehearsal.
I don't know. I feel like if I'm going to be involved in a project, obviously if I don't have any say in it, but if it's going to be my project, if I'm producing it, directing it, or writing it, I'm going to make sure that we're rehearsing.
Well, and from what I've heard on like various podcasts, if it's like a really complicated scene that's going to take a lot of camera movement and a lot of different things, they'll do like a rehearsal for that sometimes.
But like, I think I saw something about Veep where they rehearse like crazy for that show.
Really?
Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know,
like as far
they don't have to, but they do. And I think that's why it works so well. And they have that.
Well, and as far as shooting, I don't think we talked about this today, but we had some story issues that we solved through rehearsal, which really helped. Mm-hmm. And then the day of, we had Murphy's Law to the max. We lost our location. It was daylight saving, so we were short an hour there. Mm-hmm. Our sound guy's tire got flat. He ripped his shorts while he was fixing it. Like, everything that could go wrong went wrong. It was the day after Halloween. Holland was really... No, I'm just kidding. so it was like, if we had not have rehearsed, we would have been completely screwed.
Yeah.
Completely
screwed. For sure.
And then as far as what you were saying as producing, yeah, I think, I don't know if this is everybody, maybe it's just us more than others, but once you've been on like the more overall storytelling end of things, I think in filmmaking, it's hard to go back because you can see problems or you can see ways that things could be better. And, you want to be a part of it. You want to be like, hey, this story could be like this. And there's so little control in acting. Like you're a puppet, sort of. I mean, depending on what people want and who you are.
That is probably true more often than not, even though it shouldn't be, right? I mean, the best directors and producers say how it's their job to not treat that actor like a puppet.
Right. Well, and like they'll always talk about how the best actors are not puppets and they like, contribute so much creatively. Mm-hmm. That's a super collaborative thing. But at the same time, maybe it's just the level that you're at. And depending on the role, like if it's like a 2-line co-star in a TV show,
You don't have a lot of control
over
that.
You have zero control. But, like, they're leads that are going to want them to have some input.
All right. Well, tell me, what have you done since Above Jewels?
Go ahead.
Since Above Jewels, let's see. I wrote a film called Dysphoria and star in it. And Ashley is a supporting actress in there.
Woo-hoo.
And that was quite the... experience. It was pretty cool because that was my first, like, being able to tell my story. So that was really cool. And we are just finishing that up right now in post-production. And
you wrote it. How long did you spend writing it?
Well, actually almost a year. Almost a year to write it because it just wanted it to be perfect.
And how long is it?
It's about 11 minutes.
11 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you really put the time in.
Yeah.
Where'd the idea come from for it?
Well, the idea is actually based off of my own life experience. So, and I think, and it's an all-female cast and crew. Yeah.
That's great. I read, now I can't think of who it was, but there's a recent TV show, I think, on Netflix or Amazon where... the producer said the crew's going to be all female also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, it's one that...
And they said it was like the most productive set ever.
Was it Zoe Lister-Jones one? I think that's her name. Band-Aid, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know.
But yeah. No, it was definitely an interesting experience just having all females. And it was, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Was that because the subject matter? Is the subject matter...
The subject matter is very... personal, and I think having that was really nice too, because it's a pretty dark drama / kind of thriller, I would say now, because it's interesting because I went to a panel once where it was Bobby Farrelly who was talking, and he was saying that you're making three movies. You write it, and then you shoot it, and then you edit it, and they're three different movies. And it was just, like, so interesting because I was in the middle of making that film, and I was just like, that is so true, because it's, like, you write it, and then you film it, and you're like, oh, my God, it's so much different than, like, the writing process. And then, like, you start editing it, and you're like, oh, my God, this is not what we shot. But it was pretty cool to see that growth, you know?
Right, with your own work.
And it was, like, what it ended up turning out to become, because it's, like, when you see it on paper, it's, like, you don't necessarily see that, you know? So it was pretty cool. We'll see what happens from there. But, yeah, I think the subject matter, I think people will be able to relate to it a lot and hopefully send a message to, you know, a lot of people and hopefully help change something, you know. So I think that was, like, my motive was just I didn't want to just make a movie. I wanted to make a movie that had some kind of message, you know. And so I think we accomplished it, so I'm excited for people to see it. And then I directed a short film called One Bedroom in Silver Lake, which was actually for a festival, too, in Beverly Hills Playhouse. And then now I'm also directing another film that I was approached. So it was pretty cool. So just kind of
when you say approach, someone came to you and said...
Well... Basically, yeah. They were talking about their film, and I just mentioned something, and then they asked me if I would direct it. And I was like, send me the script, and we'll see.
Great. Now, I've done a bad job of including Ashley.
That's okay. We'll get to me.
It was my turn.
It was absolutely your turn.
Sorry, I just have a lot of projects.
You do have a lot going on, which is impressive.
Which is great, yeah, for sure. And
a lot of people sit in their apartment going... Man, when am I going to get something I want?
Well, that's the thing is, like, I still go on auditions. I still do the stuff you're supposed to be doing as an actor. But it's like, and I feel also if it wasn't for Above Jewels, I probably wouldn't be on this path, you know?
Yes.
For sure.
Happy.
Like, thanks absolutely. No, absolutely.
So Ashley's post Above Jewels path.
So I had
you
actually.
Have a lot.
Yeah, I do. I might take even longer than Holland.
We're productive.
Yeah, I had written another script. I wrote like three scripts for that festival.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
There was Lester and Adelaide.
Lester and Adelaide?
Yeah, those were the names I chose. And that was one where it was like basically I had this idea. We wanted to get rid of a dead body And we were gonna, the director that was working with us was like, oh, I want to show two sides of a door and like the contrast between those. And so I created Lester and Adelaide, and she was gonna smack Lester across the head with her frying pan and kill him. And then they were gonna get rid of it and the cops were gonna show up. And then I wrote a plastic surgery one about, a girl waiting for lip injections outside, and she starts to have these like crazy, scary visions outside as she's waiting for her procedure. And, so that one I ended up making later, it's called Those Lips, and we just showed at Comic-Con, and then we'll be at Burbank in the beginning of September. And so that's the beginning of its festival run. So that'll be about a year, and then we'll probably put that online. And, then I'm working on another one with a director from the Saturday class. I had another script that I had written and gave to her, and she actually did like a page one rewrite, which it was needed because I was trying to write something with a happy ending because I struggle with happy endings.
Who wants a happy ending?
Why? And so it was like, it was a cute story, you know, but like when you're looking at festivals and what's gets in, and it was set, like my happy ending story, of course, had two funerals in it because that's who I am. And I was looking at like, how much is this going to cost to make? And like, how much do I want to invest versus what are the returns on it? And so I was actually really grateful for the rewrite because it makes a lot more sense in terms of submitting to festivals because that was a cute story, but you know. And so right now, October-ish, we'll see what happens. She works in TV, so she's used to getting done like fast. And I'm used to doing months of pre-production, so it might get done in October, legitimately. And then I just actually finished another short, like, 2 nights ago that I'm pretty excited about. I think I want to do it for the festival this year, and I'm kind of working
on wrote?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's so weird. You gotta read it.
Like you just,
what are the characters?
I mean, is it something you worked on for a week or just the other night you wrote the whole thing? Or?
I've had the idea in my head for like a little bit. And then we have this thing called admin groups where you get together and like it's like an accountability buddy thing. And I kind of brought the idea to them and they seemed pretty excited about it. And so I've kind of been writing it with those people in mind to do for this festival. And it's called Erotic Neurotic. And it's basically about like a chick that gets in her own way. So she like can't get laid because she's a little bit neurotic.
I love how all your shorts have two words. Yeah.
I don't know
above
what it
jewels,
is.
Those lips, yeah. Erotic, neurotic.
I have another one called Death By that I'm thinking I might direct. And it's like, it's a chase scene. And then you realize the reveal. I'll just ruin it. The reveal is she's being chased by donuts.
Oh, no, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. I love that. You need to do
it. I'm going to do it in Utah when it snows. I'm going to have Brandon do it for me. And then speaking of Brandon, I have a friend in Utah that I work with a lot, and we did a short that's available called 82578, and we actually want to develop that into a feature. So we're thinking this spring, but you know how all these things goes.
It's never as planned.
Yeah. And Holland will be in that one.
I hope so.
But she's
cross your fingers.
We already talked about it. He's like, Holland still wants to come out. And I was like, yeah, she does. She's going to Utah.
For sure.
Yeah.
In general, I mean, you guys have such a good relationship working wise and friendship wise, but are you in like half of each other's stuff or what's
the
ratio?
I would say at least.
Probably.
At least half.
Yeah. 'Cause I actually wrote also another film. I just needed to get the funding for it, but remember,
is that
his sisters?
That's still happening, right?
I would hope so. Just need to.
It's just it makes me very happy because I see so many people with on-screen chemistry, and they never reunite.
You know,
even if they become friends off camera, there's never the situation where you get to see them come back. And you know, I miss the old days.
No, I imagine us like being like 70 years old making a movie together.
I did another draft of the Life After, which is the graveyard one. And I wrote a part for you specifically in it before she came and did her whole rewrite. But we could
really
do it. Oh, you wrote me in?
Oh, yeah, totally. Aww. I write you in all the time.
I love it. As much as they don't put you in, I write you in still. You and Steve.
That's, oh, that's good to know.
Maybe it's her crutch. She's like, well, I know Holland's voice so well.
I've gotten in trouble before because I've written for other people, and they're like, why did you do that? And I'm like, well, okay.
oh, yeah, that... Write me back in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't help it. Be honest. I can tell. You tell people.
Yeah.
Instead of
just
saying,
sure.
Oh, do you see yourself reflected there? I didn't see that.
What? Huh, weird.
Hmm. Well, I would have. I feel like the more, you know, we do, the better. So I feel like we should just keep collaborating. No, I think, you know, we're both, you know, really generous in giving, like, for each other when we write or when we come up with any kind of projects. I think it's like. Mm-hmm. You know, even the Dysphoria one, like, I love your character in it. And
it's
just
so good.
It, like, makes the film for me. And, just being able to kind of be like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. And then, and not being afraid to be like, can I be in it?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know what I mean?
I shamelessly asked.
Who's playing this? And it's like, no one. You want to play it? Or, you know?
Yeah, she told me about it, and I shamelessly asked. I was like, can I be a part of this?
And I know she said that, and I was just like, I don't know if it's, you know, a part of the writing. And then I was just like we're going to make you a character. We're going to, you know, make you not Ashley.
Make you a weirdo.
But then also, even with Above Jules, like, she had the idea, because I sing at the end. I get a, you know, and and that was really cool too, because, you know, I love to sing, and I'm definitely want to pursue music as well. And for her to be able to give me that opportunity to kind of have that at the end, and it's really nice because at festivals people always bring it up or like, you know, and it's been really nice. And it wasn't anything that I expected either. And she was just like, I want you to sing the song at the end. And I was like, what? Like, that's so cool. Like, and also had a connection with that song. I used to sing that song to my little brother when he was a baby. So it was just like, it was like being able to do that, and her being like the one who to come up with that idea, you know, like, it wasn't me being like, hey, can I sing at the end of the movie? It was like, she was like, I want you to sing this. And I feel like it kind of gives the movie a whole other vibe too, you know, having that.
To be fair, that was
the credits.
Director's idea.
Was it really?
Yeah. Because they do that in the Jennifer Lawrence movie.
Hunger Games.
No.
What they do then?
Winter's Bone.
Oh, they do do it
Winter's Bone. Yeah, they took like a public... Well, they had like kind of an old-timey song, and he's like, oh, what if we did something like that? And I was like, well, Holland sings, let's do it. So then I found that song.
Well,
just magically
screw you, Ashley.
Wait, you found the song? But the convergence here is amazing, though, because you found the song, but it happened to be something you sang to your baby brother.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you didn't even suggest the song.
No, no, no.
They brought you the song
yes.
that you sang to your baby
yes.
brother.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was
it's
pretty
a higher
cool.
power at work.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Well, and I always talk about this at festivals too, but I, like, in the acting world, there are so many incredibly talented people. And so few opportunities. And and so it's always nice. I feel like it gets more personal investment on set as well when you have multi-roles. Because then it's like, you just have more personal investment when you're the production designer and you're acting in it. And when you're a producer and you're acting in it. And I don't know. So I always like to have the actors or the crew act or vice versa.
I know the one thing...
We're able to promote all of our future projects.
True, yeah.
The one thing that didn't come up was one of the things I like praising about your film, Above Jules, which is it shows that you have a stage background because it's such a performance piece.
Mm-hmm.
And when you watch it, you're really watching two great performances. And I see a lot of films on the festival circuit where you can tell it's written and directed by someone who's really talented. And then they don't really get the performance side of it right.
Doesn't that
well,
drive
I would think
you
it's
insane.
Really hard to find that.
It drives me insane.
I feel like it's harder to find that than it is to find
actors. Yeah. I get so, like, it hurts me inside when I see a project that's, like, so incredibly well produced, and then the performances just aren't there, and you're like, oh, there's so much potential
and there's
here.
There's, like, $50,000.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, man. Yeah. So, Thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
And I think it's both your background from stage, and I think it's also probably the way you rehearse.
Yeah.
And your chemistry, sure. Yeah, you guys cheated because you had such good chemistry to start with.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people have that opportunity to be able to work together beforehand.
Yeah.
And then plus similar kind of characters.
Sure.
And so having that...
Well, and there's...
relationship.
Yeah, and like that whole onset versus rehearsing before, a lot of people will be like, I want it to be fresh and new and whatever. But the thing is, if you've rehearsed enough and you worked and you have that chemistry...
It is fresh.
It is fresh and new because you can like...
But let's be honest, if another person had written that script and casted two great performers, two great actors to play those sisters... they were going to have a 1 in 1,000 chance of having your chemistry.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Right? So the same project that wasn't between people who had chemistry, it doesn't really... there's almost no chance. I mean, the odds of getting on-screen chemistry when you're just casting for a short film... I'm just realizing now that...
it's not easy.
Yeah, it's almost, it's like lightning striking.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy.
Huh.
I mean, even just the experience of going to festivals and being like, okay. Like, maybe the production quality is really good or the story could be interesting, but then it's just the relationship just isn't there, or the performance, like you said, and I think we just have high standards when it comes to that because, you know.
That's our whether background.
Whether it's us working with each other or working with other actors that we've worked with before. It's like you expect that in each other and in your scene partner.
Well, and I think everyone has their own thing that they really look for. Like some people, and festivals too, they'll say, oh, we really are story focused. So they're going to look at the writing and the script and be like, that's our most important thing. Versus others might be like, performance based, like that's our thing. Versus others are like, oh, you know, the production value has to be like, plus, and like obviously you want all three, but not everything is going to have all three, and certain people will be like, you know, the performances weren't as good, but the story's great and the production value is so high that's it. That's,
I feel like I would prefer the performance being good over than the production quality.
Well, and it kind of goes back to the whole, like, what's the one that Christopher Nolan did, his very first one that was
the one before Memento?
The one before that had like not great production value, but the story was so fascinating that it's like it got him on the radar despite his like budget, like lack of everything. And I don't know. When I talk to filmmakers, I'm always kind of like, well, let's up the production value a little bit. Let's see what we can do to lift this up a little bit. And then they'll be like, no, because the story is the most important. Look at Christopher Nolan. And I'll be like, yeah, I get it, and that can work, but we're not Christopher Nolan. Let's make it pretty.
Well, and you're not talking about freezing the production and raising $2 million. You're
right,
talking about
like,
you know what, if you fix the lights for 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Just fix the lights.
Just get some lights. Sure. Come on. They can be harsh. I don't care, but so we can see the person.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Everyone
Thanks
can watch
for having
your film
us.
At discoverfilm.net.
Watch it.
We're going to put that Vimeo link in there. All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That was Holland Olmsted and Ashley Erin Campbell. If you have questions, comments, or complaints, you can take them to discoverfilm.net. And if you want to be really cool and watch the short film Above Jewels, you can do that there as well. I don't think I have anything else to tell you. See you next time.